And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Wednesday, January 12th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are brought to you by No House Advantage. We've got a 9-game Wednesday slate here, which means we're either going to move through it really, really quickly because we can only touch on the best stuff. And trust me, there's a lot of bad out there. Or we don't realize what's going on and it's 10:50 by the time we get to the third game. We'll see which direction we go. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Adam, how was your Tuesday?
It was fine. Got out to the bar for the first time in a while. DFS-wise, it sucked, so that wasn't great.
There you go. Yeah, not fun at all. We do have a lot to talk about. Normally, I want to just ramble for like the first 5 minutes of this show, but I don't think we have that kind of time. So let's kick it off if you're ready.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the show on YouTube. Like, normally it's always in the same spot. If I just search Awesomeo, the show comes up, but it hasn't shown up the last couple of days. I think that I think YouTube's messing with us.
Are you subscribed to the channel?
Probably not.
That would help. Anyway, the Boston Celtics are 3-point favorites in Indiana, 210 total. And for the most part, Boston is healthy, although we do have one key piece. Marcus Smart is doubtful. Peyton Pritchard, questionable to come back. We have seen Peyton Pritchard get a bit more playing time on the games where Marcus Smart is out. No surprises there. But when push comes to shove, we've got Dennis Schroeder at 15% owned on DraftKings and no one else for Boston north of 9%. And I totally agree with it. I don't find all that much interesting here. Clearly, there's a ceiling on Schroeder at 4,800, but I wouldn't even call, like, he's a obviously okay value play to me at 30 minutes. I don't really like much of Boston, but I do like most of Boston at the same time.
Yeah, and there's also no guarantee that, I guess with Smart out, he's going to play more.
Yeah.
But he kind of had seen his minutes being pulled back too, which is weird. But with Smart out, I assume he does get around 30 minutes. So yeah, he looks pretty good at 4,800. I'm with you though. I mean, I think that there's nothing that stands out in terms of being the top option on the slate. But as usual, you can always get the Tatum. You can get the Brown. Tatum's salary on DraftKings has dropped even more. He's only $200 more expensive than Brown now. I think that is just kind of a mistake. Like, Brown should be 8,700 if Tatum is 85 or 9,500. Robert Williams has been playing more minutes, but he's 7,300, so it's kind of tough to get there. I think Schroeder's the easiest guy to get to for sure. $4,200 Richardson, if there's not much value today, is okay, but it's a 9-game slate. I assume we're going to be able to find better than that.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know, like 16%, like I guess the Schroeder ownership like makes some sense. I think it's a little high and we're going to have value that makes that less appealing, especially for him in this particular team. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, you can play Tatum and Brown and Robert Williams and Schroeder and Jay Rich and maybe a little bit of Al Horford, but none of these guys are actual like hot to me, high end priorities. It's just lineup filler is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. I'd expect to get a good amount of Schroeder. Other than that, it's kind of just like last guy in type guys.
All righty. I wish that I had more for Boston, but I certainly don't. So we'll go to Indiana. Indiana is basically a team that I don't think that we could even talk about at this point. Brogdon questionable, LeVert questionable, Duarte questionable, Batadze questionable. Lance is signing his second 10-day. We still have no TJ McConnell, which isn't happening or which isn't changing. If they're all in, I think you play nobody from Indiana. If they're all out, then you certainly open up more room for Sabonis and Turner and Stevenson and Sykes or Washington or whatever, but I don't know how to talk about them right now, and I don't think that they look all that appealing to begin with.
Yeah, I agree. If Brogdon's in, there's not really much that looks appealing at all. I mean, you can get to a $6,100 Turner regardless, yeah. But if Brogdon's in, I mean, he cuts into Sabonis. He obviously makes guys like Stevenson and Sykes and Washington look worse. If he's out, then you know maybe you can play some of those guys, but it's still the pricing is still pretty much where it should be. Like, it's adjusted for him being out.
Yeah. If they're all in, if Brogdon's in, LeVert's in, and Duarte's in, that like Sykes isn't going to play anymore. Washington's not going to play anymore. You're not going to get nearly the kind of run that you want to get out of Lance Stephenson, who was terrible in this last game, by the way. There's just nothing to be able to talk about. And it's not going to do us any good to hypothesize like, well, if Brogdon's out, but LeVert's in, and if LeVert's in, but Brogdon, it's not. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. This is not a spot we could talk about. That's all I got for Indiana. Obviously, play whatever Sabonis and LeVert you want to play, just or LeVert, Sabonis and Turner, just because those guys are the constants, but Sabonis is way too expensive for that mess right now. Keeping it moving. Now we have a lot to talk about. The Charlotte Hornets are 5.5-point dogs at Philly, 226 total for Charlotte. Everybody's available except for Kelly Oubre. So we've got LaMelo Ball, 23% owned on FanDuel at 8K, just 10% owned on DraftKings at 8,700. No one in double digits on DK, but I think everybody looks real, like pretty good across the board. On FanDuel, it's sort of the same situation. I really like getting to Charlotte. They took this was sort of what we expected to happen. They didn't go to Ish Smith and add an extra person to the rotation. They just took out Oubre and gave everybody else the minutes and went to an 8-man rotation. And if they're doing that, pretty much everybody looks interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised because like I knew that Borrego had said that Cody Martin and I think McDaniels were going to soak up the minutes. I didn't think he meant it in the sense that like Ish Smith just wasn't going to play, because Smith had actually played pretty well recently. But that's good from a fantasy standpoint for sure. You got 35 minutes from LaMelo. He still managed to be terrible, but the minutes were there. You got, you know, 36 from Hayward, 41 from Bridges, 40 from Rozier, 27 from Washington. All of that is really, really appealing. And Washington in particular, it was nice to see, you know, him get those minutes. He had been trending that way, but finally got there. So Charlotte as a whole, I mean, it's not the most appealing spot, but still a 111 total. LaMelo's prices come down. Bridges, Rozier, Hayward, Washington all look fine.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot right now for Charlotte, assuming they do the same thing that they just did. I gave a couple extra minutes to Mason Plumlee in this one, just because it's Embiid on the opposite side. If you're ever going to play Mason Plumlee a couple extra minutes, it's probably against the actual center. So I got him up to 24. The opposite side for Washington gave him the other 24 plus some run at the four. But, you know, Bridges to 36, Rozier 35, Gordon Hayward 35, LaMelo 34. I just want to mix and match most of this Charlotte team outside of probably just Jalen McDaniels as like the least interesting piece. But I think that you can get to the other seven guys if they're just going to concentrate all this playing time.
Yeah, agreed. For the person in chat that said, I knew I should have played Curry over Jokic last night, but didn't. You shouldn't have.
No. No, you shouldn't have. And they weren't close to each other yesterday.
Curry hit Jokic's projection. Jokic just sucked.
Yeah. And you can't look at it like that. What as weird as it sounds, whatever they did is meaningless in what you should have done.
Right. Like, the way I think about it is, I knew that Curry was capable of beating Jokic and that he was going to be lower owned. He still didn't end up like grading out as the better option, all of that considered. So when it works out that way, like it works out that way, but you can't think about it like that.
Absolutely. Who is your favorite option for Charlotte?
LaMelo, and I'm sure I'll regret that in like 12 hours.
8K LaMelo on FanDuel is even more appealing. I understand where we're getting that ownership. It looks fantastic.
From a like usefulness standpoint, Bridges probably is like more helpful, because like when you think about the slate, you have Dinwiddie, for example, that is just taking up a point guard spot. But outside of that, like LaMelo is the one that looks the best relative to salary for me.
Give me one second here. Just responding to Chris with a message. All right, let's go to the Philly side. Philly's a little complicated. I'm really curious to get your thoughts on one particular player in this one. On the Philly side, Maxey is back. Tobias Harris is probable. Seth Curry questionable, which is a very important piece of this game today. Paul Reed's off the injury report. Obviously, we don't have Ben Simmons. So for Philadelphia, Tobias Harris is 7,800 on FanDuel, 7,700 on DraftKings. Embiid pulling about 10% ownership across both sites. That shouldn't be all that confusing. The guy that I'm most interested in this game, $5,400 Tyrese Maxey on DK, projected for 12% ownership. To me, he's the best option you're going to find on Philly, which, you know, here's me talking about Tyrese Maxey again. But $5,400 is a different price tag than what we had been seeing a little bit earlier in the year.
I was going to say, you like Tyrese Maxey? That's surprising. Yeah. But I'm with you. $5,400 looks pretty good. Not on the injury report. Good matchup. I assume he's going to play like 32 minutes or so. And Embiid looks great. If you can get there. I mean, 9-game slate, center, all of that, but should just absolutely destroy Charlotte. So he looks good. I think Harris looks good at 7,700, but I agree. Maxey looks pretty good as well. I do think Embiid and Harris look a little bit better, but no issues with Maxey either.
All righty. Yeah, it's just, I assume he plays 32 minutes or something around that neighborhood. I think he'll probably look a little bit better if Seth Curry isn't actually out there. But I just like that value. He's 6,200 on FanDuel, a little bit more difficult to get to. If Curry is in, I don't have a ton of interest at 6,400. He's fine. I think the Korkmaz and Thybul and everybody else's value is sort of gone. So to me, it's really just a three-man race of Harris, Embiid, and Maxey. It's a great matchup against Charlotte. You can't ask for much more here.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, even if Seth Curry plays, he's priced for Maxey to be out, which it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that makes a big difference. But Curry running point, you know, having the ball in his hand more, the usage rate goes up, the assist percentage goes up. So yeah, I'm with you. I think it's pretty much Embiid, Harris, Maxey.
Wow, I totally missed the Jokic is only a cash play, not a GPP play comment, which is just chef's kiss of awful.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about that?
No. Prove it, Adam. I won a GPP in April, only 20 entries. Congrats. I think I've won like 10 since then.
All right. I'm just going to say it now. Every single play that you can consider to be a good cash play is unquestionably a good GPP play. Whether or not you're going to play as much as the field in that case is a full discussion based on the ownership of the lineup that you have. The best cash plays are the best plays on the slate in any format, no matter what. There's a reason those cash plays are heavily owned in high dollar, low entry contests. That is how many of this is just, I'm going to have to dodge this one. I don't know if it's a real troll or a fake troll. Part of me make hopes that it's fake because that way it's not as sad. But what is really not sad today is the schedule we have for the rest of the day. NFL strategy show coming up at 11 a.m. We've got the Jock Market NBA show at 1 o'clock. We have the Yahoo specific NBA show at 4. NBA Deeper Dive at 5. NBA Live Before Lock at 6. And then PGA Live Before Lock coming in at 8 o'clock. Loaded, loaded lineup. NBA ownership rankings are free. PGA top golfers are free. NHL top stacks are free. So you're getting some goods today at osmo.com. Make sure you're checking it all out. Orlando, 8-point dogs in Washington, 217 total for the Magic. We've got like one good play, and that's probably it. Although there are some question marks hanging on this one that could open up additional stuff for Orlando. Still no Suggs, Isaac, Fultz, MCW, or Etuan Moore. Robin Lopez is available. And Wendell Carter Jr. and Mo Bamba are both questionable. Now, I have them both in right now, but Lopez could look at least a little bit more interesting if he happens to be able to play a little bit more here. Cole Anthony, though, 7,400 on FanDuel, 7,400 on DraftKings, about 15% owned. Very clearly to me, the best play you can find from Orlando. I'm not even sure you can find a good one elsewhere. Maybe Bamba.
Yeah, the price tag on Anthony looks good. Coming off a game, he played about 36 minutes. Not a bad matchup, not a great one, but not a bad matchup. 105 implied total, relatively high for Orlando. But yeah, just another spot where it seems like a lot of the guys that have been a little bit overpriced are dropping a bit. Anthony's down to 7,400, makes him look good. If Carter plays at 7,300, I don't have any issue with that. I don't mind $5,700 Franz Wagner, but Anthony, clearly the priority.
Yeah, he's just on a completely different level compared to the rest of this Orlando team. Can you get to anybody else? Like if one of Carter or Bamba are out, are you more interested in the other one? I mean, Carter's obviously already up into the 7, so I don't know how big of a change he gets, but like if Carter happens to be out and Bamba's in, is that a direction you want to go?
Yeah, I think that one way or the other, I think $5,800 Bamba is reasonable. But if Carter is out, I think he looks better. It just helps secure his playing time. Still only played 28 minutes without him last game. And like you said, you have Lopez back. So I don't think you should get too carried away there. But yeah, if one or the other is out, then it does make whichever one is in look a little bit better.
Do you think you'd have any interest in Robin Lopez? Like if they're both out,
yep.
Can you? Yeah, I didn't see his price or anything like that, but We've seen that in We've seen that in games where Robin Lopez starts, probably going to play a ton of minutes. So
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Orlando has enough wings where, like, if they are missing Carter and Bamba, then in theory they could just play, you know, some smaller lineups, start Robin Lopez, play him 24 minutes, run some small ball lineups out there. But they haven't been doing that. Lopez has just been playing true starter minutes when he does get the starts. Then you combine that with a Washington team that plays close to 48 minutes of centers. So
they're going
to
be doing that today, that's for sure.
Yeah, so if Lopez, if both of those guys are out and Lopez is starting, I'm interested for sure. Plus, you know, revenge game.
Rest of these guys all look the same. Gary Harris, Franz Wagner, Terrence Ross, all these guys. Like, I don't have any real opinions here. We do have opinions, though, on the Washington Wizards. We'll start quickly. Spencer Dinwiddie is projected for 20% ownership on FanDuel at 7,100. To me, that's too low. He's projected for 42% ownership on DraftKings at 6K. To me, that's too low. He's one of the three best plays of the day across every single site, basically, at 6K on DraftKings. If I don't know how you could possibly make a case that he isn't an exceptional play. He's a different player altogether when Bradley Beal isn't on the floor, and Bradley Beal is not on the floor for this one. You know who is going to be on the floor for today?
Thomas Bryant.
Yes, he is. Probable for this one. Questionable tag on Rui. We don't know his status yet if he's going to be playing on a back-to-back, but let's start with Dinwiddie. Do you have anything to add other than just play him in close to everything?
I had 100% last night. I assume I'll have 100, close to 100% at least tonight. Obviously, it's early. I haven't made lineups. Things could change. But there's just nothing to dislike about Dinwiddie. They've already said he's playing. He played – how many minutes did he play last night?
33, I believe.
Yeah, 33 and a half, which was kind of on the low end of, I think, what – you could expect, probably because it was a back-to-back. So I assume you're getting another like 33 to 34 here. He's been ridiculously good in the games, the full games he's played without Beal. But even if you look at his rates just without Beal on the floor in general, they're lower than in the full games, but they're still excellent. He's at like almost 1.2 DraftKings points per minute without Beal on the floor this season. In the full games, he's at like 1.4 DraftKings points per minute. Even if you just assume he produces 1.15 to 1.2, at 6K, he looks fantastic.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add. I think he still looks fantastic at 7,100 on FanDuel. I'd like to have more than 20%, but yep. The 6K price tag. I mean, his boom score on DraftKings is 40 fantasy points. I'm well above that with just his regular projection, so not all that difficult to get there.
It's an example of, I know a lot of times, like when people talk about tournaments, there's a heavy focus on ceilings and all of that. But Dinwiddie's a good example of, like, you do want to keep the entire range of outcomes in mind. And yes, obviously Dinwiddie can have a bad game. It's possible, but the, like, part of the reason that I got 100% last night, and I think I'll be close tonight, is just realistically, it's so hard for him to actually give you a bad game at 6K with Beal out. So it's kind of just like, okay, like, I'll take this lineup spot. Even if he busts and gets like 32 or 35 or something, it's not the end of the world, and he can easily go for 50.
Absolutely. We're seeing ownership coming into KCP on FanDuel at 4,800, which I don't totally understand. I think that comes down and is just a quirk for today. No one else is really pulling any ownership on Washington. I'd be happy to get to a little bit of Kyle Kuzma still at 8K with no Bradley Beal out there. I'm going to ask you what you think they're going to do. I know you don't have an answer. I went 18, 18, 12, Harrell, Gafford, and Thomas Bryant, but maybe they just sit Montrezl Harrell for fighting KCP during halftime.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, apparently they had a little brouhaha yesterday.
My guess is that they just rest Rui and give those minutes to Bryant.
It's certainly possible. So who do you think plays alongside each other, Bryant and someone else? Like, I don't think it's Gafford and Harrell.
Yeah, no, I think Bryant like plays just the
four. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Which, like, it's not ideal, but he can. I mean, he can go stand in the corner.
Harrell was reportedly mad at Caldwell Pope because he didn't pass him the ball in the final play before the half ended. The two then started jawing on their way to the locker room before they took swings at each other. Neither player connected with their punches, but they did have to be separated.
Is anybody less accurate with punches than NBA players?
Not a lot of guys here with the pop, pop. And I was watching Tyler Hero hit some mitts in some like Instagram video, and boy, did that look like shit too. So
I remember that
he definitely didn't want that Nurkic smoke, that much I know.
Yeah.
he would have punched Nurkic in the face, and Nurkic would have laughed right in his grill. So it would have been
Nurkic
fantastic.
Would have reacted the same way as when he pushed him, just kind of like take a step and turn around, like what was that?
He might have just laughed his way out of the anger.
Right.
Oh, it would be insane. So yeah, we'll see how those two guys are. I assume that's just in-game fighting, you know, shit you just see. They don't strike me as the two type of guys that are going to be carrying that around for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, they were teammates. Were they teammates in LA?
Yeah, they had to be, right? I mean, KCP there was there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I assume they were. I'm pretty sure they know each other pretty well.
Yeah, they came in the same trade, no?
Oh, right. Yeah, good call. Yeah, that typically means they're on the same team. Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure they know each other pretty well. It kind of reminds me of the Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne fight.
Yeah. This doesn't. I'm not worried about this at all. Do we like anything else here? KCP, Corey Kispert stepping into, you know, Kispert at 3,500 shooting guard, small forward. There's a path there for him being a value guy that plays close to 30 minutes with Beal out. Like if the shots are falling, but no priorities here for me for Washington.
Yeah, like if you want to throw some darts at $3,500 Kispert, assume you're going to get 28 to 30 minutes, that's fine. He's not a, you know, high production guy, but if he's going to be out there for 30 minutes, he's going to be reasonable, especially in this matchup. But yeah, and as far as Harrell goes, I mean, you got 24 minutes last night, which was a little bit more than, a little bit more than I expected. I thought it was possible, but I also thought that there was a chance that he would play like 20 in his first game back. He still looks decent at 4,700.
Okay. Anything else here for the Wiz?
Yeah. Kuzma. Usage should be there without Beal.
Yeah.
Rebounding numbers should really take a hit with Harrell back, with Rui, with Bryant. So like we saw 20% ownership on $8,400 Kuzma yesterday. That was insane to me. I talked about him on the show and said that I thought that if he was going to get like 5 or 6%, that it was an okay spot in tournaments, just hoping he shoots well. But really, you need to treat him differently. Yeah, the usage rate goes up without Beal, and he still has a ceiling for that reason. But you can't rely on those rebounding numbers you've been getting now that you're getting all the bigs back.
I'm trying to look at what his... So they've played 7 games with no Bradley Beal this year. Where the hell is the damn percentage on this? Field goal O rebound percentage. Where is field goal D rebound percentage? Does that not even exist here? Okay. Kuzma, 21% defensive rebounding rate in the games with no Bradley Beal. Do you think it's significant? Like, I've got it at 15 for the game. I still want to get to Kuzma a bit more than the 8% we're showing. Do you see it lower than that?
No. I think it's around there. But in the games that Harrell was out and Rui was out and Bryant was obviously out, you were getting Kuzma playing backup center and getting like 20, you know, having like 20 rebound upside. I don't think that exists anymore.
Okay. That works.
So I think basically what I'm saying is that I think that Kuzma at 8K with Beal out, he can still beat that price tag, but I think that he's a lot more scoring dependent than he has been in recent games. I think that salary adjusted in part for him playing center, essentially, and that ain't happening anymore.
All right. On to Miami. Kind of a tricky team to talk about today. You know, some of the pieces are still clearly out. No Jimmy Butler, no Bam Adebayo, no Markieff Morris, no KZ Akpala or Marcus Garrett. Dwayne Dedmon is questionable. Gabe Vincent is not on the injury report any longer. I have no concept of how many minutes Gabe Vincent is going to play today, considering he was playing a ton earlier. So we've got Kyle Lowry, 15 to 20% owned, depending on FanDuel or DraftKings. It seems a little high to me, but no real issue here. On the Miami side, though, Tyler Hero at 6,500 on FanDuel, to me, is very clearly the best option you're going to find in this game for Miami. Not a lot of ownership going to Yurt 7, which I think is still pretty interesting. I just don't know what to do with Dedmon. I assume they still just start Yurt 7, give him the full run, and bring Dedmon in as the backup. Yurt 7's been pretty good here for Miami. What are you looking at for the Heat? I don't totally agree with the ownership on Lowry for today.
Yeah, on DraftKings, I think they kind of just look like a bunch of neutral plays. 7,600 Lowry, 7,800 Hero. Not upset about getting to them without Bam or Butler, but they're not like they don't look as good as Dinwiddie, for example. Center, I think, is really interesting. Dedmon's questionable. I think it's likely, like you said, that Yurtseven stays in the starting lineup. But even then, he becomes a little bit riskier because Does he play 26 minutes? You know, does he play 28? If you get 32 from him at 65 or 6,900, he's decent. But yeah. If Dedmon's active, it just, you know, makes it a riskier play.
Yeah. And to be fair, Dedmon has been out since December 23rd, where he played 5 minutes. I believe he left that game actually with an injury too. So like he's been out since pre-Christmas, which I don't think that they're just bringing Dwayne Dedmon back in here to like start and play real minutes. Seems like they would just keep going with Yurt 7. That seems to be working pretty well for him. 11% ownership going to Caleb Martin. Like, to me, that's throwaway stuff. If Gabe Vincent is back, there's no telling who gets minutes out of Vincent, Struess, Martin. Like, those, anybody can be the guy that pulls that. I just would want a different guy if anyone's getting ownership.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like 5K Struess, shooting guard, small forward, is kind of interesting. Still, yeah. No guarantee he gets a lot of minutes, but probably plays, you know, 30-ish. I think mostly I'm just going to stick with the guys, you know, Hero, Lowry, potential Yurt 7.
Yep. All right. We're on the same page there. Little bit of PJ Tucker power forward center is fine. Not ideal. If Dedmon's out, it feels a little bit better. And then we get to Atlanta. Lots to talk about here for this Atlanta Hawks team. Q tag on DeAndre Hunter. Interesting. Capella doubtful. Cam Reddish questionable. We'll start with the obvious. If there is no Clint Capella, we're going to get Onyeka Okongwu starting. 3,900 on FanDuel, 3,900 on DraftKings, where he also has power forward eligibility. We saw Okongwu start 3 days ago with no Capella and play 38 minutes. I gave him 32 for today to just try to be safe. He's arguably the best play of the day today and just an absolute no-brainer on DraftKings and a no-brainer on FanDuel, to be fair.
Yeah, as much as the reason I agree with you that he's probably the best play, like, as much as I love Dinwiddie, and I think it's likely I have close to 100%, there's at least guys around 6K that are capable of going for, you know, 40, 45 fantasy points and beating Dinwiddie. You just don't get the same kind of thing at 3,900. There's no – when you talk about finding pivots in tournaments, you're not trying to just find a random low-owned player at the same price. You're trying to find a lower-owned player that actually has the same range of outcomes. And if Capella's out, there's not really anything that exists that rivals Okongwu with power forward center eligibility. So he would – just be probably the best play on the slate.
Yeah. So I have Okongwu's ceiling at, we'll call it 43 fantasy points. And that is fixed to minutes. If he plays 32 minutes, I think his ceiling is 43 fantasy points, which is, you know, like 1.4 or something fantasy points per minute. It's a really healthy rate. That's 11x at 3,900. Like, and that's just an insane number that you need. Even at 31 fantasy points, which is just where I have him projected, we're talking about him hitting 8x just right away. It's really hard to find that. If he was just center, it would be different. The fact that he gets power forward too just changes the game for Okongwu. You need a ton.
Yeah.
What else do you need from him? Oh, go ahead.
I'll say it goes back too to what I was saying about Dinwiddie, why I'm comfortable playing so much. It's not just about the ceiling. Like, yeah, one, he's very likely to just destroy every other, you know, $3,900 player. But yeah, even if he has an off game, like let's say he plays 30 minutes and averages, you know, 0.8 fantasy points per minute or something, and just happens to get like 24 fantasy points, you're not happy with it, but the salary still allowed you to get a bunch of other really good plays into your lineup. 24 points at 3,900 isn't going to kill you. And that's like a really shitty game if Capella's out.
And on those days where someone's pulling such high ownership, you can dodge those problematic games on value plays. You see these type of guys pop up all the time where like Okongwu goes for 28 and is still in the winning lineup because there's so many lineups that also have him.
The perfect example is Whiteside a few days ago in his first start. When he was 3,500, he scored 20 fantasy points. People are tweeting at me about like what a shitty recommendation he was. And you look at the top 10 lineups in the big DraftKings tournament, every single one of them had Hassan Whiteside because, yes, 20 points is like half of what he projected for, but it still opened up the ability to get to all these other good plays. And at the end of the day, 20 fantasy points at 3,500 isn't horrible.
Curtis McMillan says, give me Dwight over Okongwu tonight. Curtis, if you think that, please don't register for a single contest or just register for head-to-heads against me. I'll go out of my way to play those. you couldn't be further away from the truth there.
Would you guys play Okongwu and Yurt 7 in the same? Yeah, there's no reason not to. Like, no. Obviously, I don't think I'm playing a ton of Yurt 7, but there's no issue with those guys.
Yeah,
together.
What do you want to do with the rest of Atlanta? It's kind of tricky. If everybody starts to come back, kind of becomes difficult. Like $5,600 Bogdanović, I think looks okay at 1.5% ownership. He could be the guy that gets going today. Trey Young is always like mildly appealing. John Collins, I think, is pretty interesting for $7,400 on DraftKings, power forward and center eligible. Only 9% owned is like that. I like that in GPPs. Do you see anything else that stands out for Atlanta?
I do like Collins in tournaments because he was getting backup center minutes too. You know, Okongwu played 38 minutes, but Collins was on the floor for every minute that Okongwu didn't play. Those are really valuable minutes for him. So that was good to see. Makes me, you know, like him in tournaments. I think that 10-3 on Young is okay. Certainly has a high ceiling, but not a priority. So Okongwu is the guy that, you know, I'm getting, I'll get to a ton, but I do have some interest in Collins, some interest in Young.
Okay. If we end up losing and we get no Hunter, no Reddish, Gallo is the guy that gets the biggest bump here, are you guessing?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. Adam, do you think Gorgui Dieng cuts into Okongwu's time?
No.
I agree.
Was he out last game or just didn't play? I'm looking now.
I believe he was out.
Yeah, but still.
I don't think he's playing 38 minutes regardless today. Right. But he is their starting center, and that is what they want to be, their starting center.
If Gorgui Dieng is even in the rotation, I think he's just playing backup center minutes, and it's bad for Collins.
Yeah.
More so than Okongwu. There's no guarantee he's even in the rotation. Like, you can just play Collins as the backup center.
Has Okongwu ever gone above 35 fantasy points this year? I mean, considering he doesn't.
That's worth
he was out for 3 months of the season and is the backup center when Clint Capela plays, it's pretty tough. Not the way that you want to look at this. All right. Let's keep it moving to Dallas and New York. Mavs are 1.5-point favorites. We'll move through this one pretty quickly. 207 total in this one against New York. Just gross. No Kristaps Porzingis here for Dallas. And if we're being honest, no real interest in Dallas. 5,800 for Brunson on FanDuel looks okay. He's not all that great when Luka is in, but still at 5,800, he could be. There's still some usage there. There's still some assist rate there. No other real ownership coming in. Luka's about 10%. It's really like Luka or bust for me today on Dallas. This game sucks.
Yeah, not a whole lot. I mean, obviously, anytime you get to Luka, that's going to look fine. Brunson's at 7,700 on DraftKings, so really tough sell with Luka back. $5,200 Hardaway, $4,900 Kleba or sort of whatever. I don't see anything that stands out from Dallas.
Yeah, it's just not appealing. And then we go to New York, which is still a gigantic question mark, but will have at least a few interesting pieces, or could have a few interesting pieces. Questionable tag on Kemba Walker, questionable tags on Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson. Julius Randle is 15% owned across FanDuel and DraftKings. That's interesting to me at 8,500 across both sites. Alec Burks is the guy that I have a lean to. Even if Kemba's in, I just have a hard time thinking he's coming into any real minutes. And I feel like Burks is at least still playing north of 30 in a start in this one. Do you have any, are you seeing anything for New York in this one?
I'm interested in the $8,500 Randle price tag. Like, I know he hasn't played that well recently, but it's still Julius Randle. I don't think you should read into that too much. He's still likely to give you, you know, north of 36 minutes if this game's competitive. So the falling price tag is pretty interesting to me. If Kemba's out, I don't mind taking some shots at Barrett / Burks / Fournier. But not a whole lot really stands out other than the very inexpensive Julius Randle.
Yep. We are in the exact same boat here. This is just a really difficult game to want to try to prioritize. Dallas is the 29th fastest team in the league. The New York Knicks are 30th. This is last and dead last in pace. Usually doesn't breed a lot of fantasy points. So, alrighty. Let's talk a little bit about the presenting sponsor of this show. That would be No House Advantage. And this one's easy for you guys. Use the promo code AWESOMO. You can get a $25 deposit bonus when you sign up. It's 100% peer-to-peer. There's over 500 player props offered. You can mass enter if you want. We have No House Advantage projections and optimal lineups already generated and on awesomeo.com for you. You can use the app in the App Store or play at nohouseadvantage.com. I am going to hit Adam with a proper two. Actually, I'm not going to hit Adam with a proper two because they don't have anything loaded for the NBA, and I don't think it's going to get us anywhere if I ask Adam NFL Saturday wildcard questions right now. I'm guessing you're not fully prepared for that one just yet. So go sign up at No House Advantage using the promo code AWESOMO. We're on to Houston and San Antonio. You ready to talk about more plays, some of which aren't fun to talk about?
Yeah, sure.
All right, for Houston, we're locking and loading with Christian Wood to start, but we do want to touch on the little bits of information for Houston that is interesting. Eric Gordon's off the injury report. Şengün and Brooks are both questionable. Wood is projected for 40% ownership on FanDuel at 7K. I agree with it. He's 26% owned on DraftKings. Just center eligible makes me a little dubious, but this spot is great. Both of these teams play very fast. Kevin Porter Jr. is 15 to 20% owned across both sites. I think that's kind of fun. I've got a little bit of interest in Tate and Gordon and Jalen Green. What are you doing with Houston?
So one thing I think that slightly matters is the status of Şengün. He's questionable. Christian Wood played 36 minutes and lost 4.5 minutes to garbage time last game. If Şengün is out, I think it's very likely you see like 34 minutes or so for Wood. If he's in, then there's a decent chance you get back to like 32 minutes. But one way or the other, at 6,900, he looks good. You know, we know that he's well over a fantasy point per minute guy. It's not a bad matchup against San Antonio. Should be a fast-paced game. So I think he looks good. And then also, center only, not ideal, like you said, but the fact that you can roster Okongwu at power forward makes it a little bit easier. You're not just, using one center spot on Okongwu. Outside of Wood, any of Porter, Tate, Gordon, Green are fine. But I think Wood's clearly the priority.
Yeah. Him having the power forward eligibility on FanDuel is just so massive in this spot. The 40% ownership doesn't look crazy at all in that regard. I'll have too much Jalen Green like I normally do. I assume Kevin Porter will just like get himself ejected or something like he did last time. Really fun times getting to a lot of Houston. Anything you're getting off the bench here? Like Şengün's already 4,900. That doesn't seem like something we can do today.
No, I mean, if he's out and you end up with like some 4K Kenyon Martin Jr., it's fine. But 9-game slate, I think you're going to be able to find better plays.
What if I want to play KJ Martin?
Yeah, but I think KJ Martin Jr. is better.
Okay. He should just go by Martin, like Cher, Bono.
Right. I don't remember if it was live or not when we talked about it the other day, but I wish they would just ask these guys what they want to go by, and then we could just have like a database where everybody uses the same name.
The NBA should have every sport should have an official name. That way every site can just do this the same. This would be very easy to do.
Yeah, the same time that you have to answer how is your name pronounced, you can just say, how do you want your name written?
Yes. Maybe once a year you get one player turning into Enos Freedom and you got to make a change every once in a while, but like we can handle that. Or, somebody changes their religious beliefs and becomes somebody else. But otherwise, just give us the names, people. Give us the names. It's just as bad in baseball. Baseball is probably the worst offender here. You don't get too bad. Like in the NBA, it's usually just, does this guy have a junior or not on it? MLB is just always like, oh, this guy is Enrique. Oh no, this guy's now Kike. It's just like, okay, right. I can't deal with this. Time to play all of San Antonio though, because that's what happens when you play the Houston Rockets. Spurs still without Derek White, Keldon Johnson, Doug McDermott, Devin Vassell, Trey Jones, and Zach Collins. Jock Landale is back. We've got DeJounte Murray, 25% owned. Makes total sense. We've got Jakob Poeltl, 20-something percent owned. Maybe a little high, but I'm always happy to get to Jakob Poeltl. We got 35 to 40% owned Lonnie Walker, one of the three best plays of the day. We've got 15 to 25% ownership going to Cade Bates-Diop. We've got 25 to 30% ownership going to Josh Primo, 10% to Devontae Kaycock, which we could talk about. It's just coming up Spurs today. They are very clearly the best team of the day.
Yeah, I love getting to the Spurs here, which makes me not even want to register the slate because that never goes well. But DeJounte Murray's around a fantasy point and a half per minute guy without Derek White. He's got a great matchup against Houston. I think he deserves $9,700 price tag. Poeltl at 6,300. I mean, he's going to play 32 minutes or so, assuming the game's competitive. He's over a fantasy point per minute guy. Walker and Primo are both cheap, probably playing around 30 minutes. Cade Bates-Diop, I think, is a step behind those guys. But at 3,900, certainly still a viable option. Doug McDermott is still listed as out as of the 9:30 injury report. I don't know if that changes or not, but if he's out, those minutes are very solid for Walker, Primo, and Kadibits Diop. Kaycock, like you said, if that's even how you pronounce it, I don't know. I remember from the Lakers. I remember not being able to pronounce his name then.
It is.
But he's a...
It's Diop.
What?
It's Diop.
I say Kaycock.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yes, you're also still right.
He's been ridiculously good on a per-minute basis. I don't trust him to play 23 minutes again. He definitely got some garbage run in that game. But as a $3,400 center, even if he plays 16, 17 minutes, he's likely to give you 20-plus points.
Devontae Kaycock, straight out of the University of North Carolina, Wilmington.
Really?
Yeah. It's the only reason I know. Otherwise, I'd be calling him Kaycock or making bird sounds or some shit.
Well, I remember looking it up back when he played for, I think it was the Lakers.
He was on the Lakers before.
Yeah. And then I just couldn't remember.
It's just play all of the San Antonio Spurs today. So this is the one team that we actually have to care a little bit about. Do you see any rules that you'd want to be setting for San Antonio, assuming all of those guys that are out will stay out?
Max one of Poeltl, Kaycock.
Yeah. Max one, Poeltl, Kaycock, Landale.
Yes, or Eubanks, whatever.
Yeah.
Whoever ends up being...
Well, add them all, just in case.
Right, yeah. I mean, Landale's probable, but yeah. They play Kaycock alongside the centers, but I still just... I think to get like the maximum Kaycock game, it involves like a blowout or just stuff that's bad for Poeltl. So I would probably set that rule. Max... Probably like max two on Bates, Diop, Primo, Walker. Like, I think they all can close, but it's still just, what are the chances of all three of those guys having a big game together? Because you assume Murray and Poeltl are still going to get theirs. So I'd probably do that. I would throw Tyler Johnson in that. I would throw Bryn Forbes in that. So probably like just max two of the wings.
Zach Jameson knows how to stoke my fire here. On ESPN, they're saying the 96 Bulls would beat the 17 Warriors. I think there's no chance, maybe in a game, but not a series. Curious to know Josh's thoughts. The newer team is always going to smack the older team unless we're like moving them back into the previous era of basketball. But new is always better than old.
The 96 Bulls, realistically, the 96 Bulls and like the 17 Wizards might be a good series.
Yeah. The Warriors would beat the brakes off of them. If you just like, we're able to teleport them into today's basketball or in like a 2017 basketball game, the Warriors are just going to eviscerate them. It's not going to be close. It's just how it works. Again, everything is old. Like, name the fastest 100-yard dash guy in 1954 or whatever. He's going to look like a slow person in comparison to people that run it now. Everybody gets bigger, faster, stronger, and better at everything. People seem to think that that isn't the case in sports. It's the case in every single walk of life. That's where we're at.
Yeah. And if you're comparing within the era, then the argument becomes fair. And that's like the LeBron Jordan thing. You talk about Jordan in his era and LeBron in his, I don't think there's a right answer. If you just talk about who is a better basketball player, like the answer is LeBron and a bunch of other guys that play right now.
Yes, absolutely. That's just how it works. It's just how it works. All right. Cleveland Cavs, 6.5-point dogs in Utah for Cleveland. This should light chat. That's probably going to light chat on fire now, too. So that should be fun.
Yeah, that's why I threw in the Jordan LeBron thing. I saw it come up, and anytime I can mention that, it always gets them going.
Smart. Isaac Okoro is out. Everybody else is available for Cleveland. No one owned more than 8%. Jarrett Allen on FanDuel at 8K. Still has the power forward eligibility, which helps out. So, do you have any preferences here for Cleveland against this Utah team? I don't mind them a little bit on FanDuel, whether it's Mobley, Garland, or Allen, but to me, no priorities.
Yeah, I don't really think there's priorities for me. It's more so just mixing in some of these guys. Allen at 7,900 looks fine. Garland at 8,100. Mobley, like those guys are all good enough plays, but they're not priorities. They're more just low-owned, high-upside guys.
Kevin Clunan just nailed it. Average offensive line in the NFL was like 260 pounds and ran 5.5 40s, and now they're 300 and run 4.7s.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, they're completely different human beings.
Bigger, faster, stronger doesn't necessarily mean, but yes, it does. Like, absolutely does.
Yeah. Yes, it does. to Utah. Still no Rudy Gobert. So it's Hassan Whiteside season again. Q-tag on Ingles, no Gay, no Butler, no any other guys that don't really matter all that much. Donovan Mitchell's 8,500 on FanDuel. Feel free to play about as much as you would like to there. He's 25% owned, and it's warranted. Let's talk about it now. 30% owned Hassan Whiteside at 6,200. Agree? Disagree? Where do we land here? Because that is a very interesting amount of ownership today.
I think he's still a very good play. I mean, he's a 1.2 fantasy point per minute guy. He's likely to play 30 minutes or so. There's other good center options, but yeah, I mean, I think he deserves the ownership. He played 34 minutes last game. I still think he's underpriced.
Man, to me, this is the hardest decision now because, again, 9-game slate. We have – I'm pulling up – I want to look at who else exists at the center position today in comparison to, like, where some of the ownership is going. For some reason, I can't find my DK position column, which is not helpful. All right, there we go. So – we've got Okongwu, obviously soaking up a lot of exposure, does have the power forward eligibility, which helps. We have Christian Wood. Like, how different are Omer Yurtseven and Hassan Whiteside today? 30% ownership to 6. Because to me, they're not that different.
They're not that different, but Whiteside's also cheaper.
So yeah, $700. But again, like, I think those guys are pretty much in the same ballpark for today. Wildly different from a GPP perspective. Jakob Poeltl is getting 22% ownership at 6,300. Like, that's another one in that group where kind of surprising. I mean, John Collins, obviously slightly more expensive than Whiteside here, $1,200 more at 9% ownership. I've got more interest there. I think the ownership is okay, maybe a hair high, but he's still one of the best value plays you're going to find on a point per dollar basis at center.
Yeah, I think the ownership's fine because when you look, like, the guys that I would look at first and say, okay, well, am I getting an ownership discount are Christian Wood and Jakob Poeltl. And they're both, you know, Wood's at 26%, Poeltl's at 22%. I think those are the best comparisons to Whiteside, and they're all getting ownership. So I don't really have an issue with Whiteside to 30%.
Anybody who thinks basketball is better today never played. If it wasn't for DFS, I wouldn't watch a game. It's basically never been better.
Yep.
They've basically fixed basketball. I don't know what era we want to go back to, but I don't want to go back to watching 84-81 games with regularity.
Somebody thinks Kobe was the best player when LeBron was at his peak. What?
That would be super, super untrue. The game has turned into... Do you know why it wasn't a three-point shooting contest back in the day? That's the line. It's become a three-point shooting contest. Do you know why it wasn't then? Because people were stupid.
Right, yeah. People couldn't figure out that three was worth more than two.
Yes. The reason that it wasn't like that then is because people were too dumb to fix it. We eventually got people in there to do the correct thing. They fixed basketball by doing it correctly. Just because people were wrong before, we shouldn't reward them for stupidity. Two games to go. Brooklyn Nets at the Chicago Bulls. I guess we actually need to talk about the rest of Utah. I don't have anything very specific to talk about, though. Mitchell, O'Neal, Bogdanovich, Conley, Clarkson, like, these guys all look relatively similar. I think Mitchell's the best option here.
Yeah, outside of Whiteside, I don't think much really stands out. You know, getting to any of Mitchell, Bogdanovich, Conley is fine.
Players don't even try to play defense. They've never played a more sophisticated defensive scheme in basketball, ever, than they do right now.
Yeah. And I also saw my favorite whenever this topic comes up is the players now wouldn't be able to handle how physical the NBA used to be. They're bigger, they're stronger. If you told that, like, if they were allowed to play like that, they would be better at it than players were 30 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. The 7-foot white stiff that just stands in the paint that used to exist is going to get played clean off the floor now. We can't play actual good centers in these situations in the NBA nowadays. Those guys have to take a hike. What do you think these like ox-like idiots are going to have to do in a 1994 game against four shooters? Woof. Woof. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, like, tell LeBron in the finals that he can just, like, body anyone he wants and it's not going to be a foul. I think he's going to be fine.
He's going to run through everybody like a freight train. Like he's been doing for 15 years. He's still doing it now. He's 37 years old. Brooklyn Nets, 1-point favorites in Chicago. Harden's questionable. Kyrie's questionable. The only thing that matters is if all three play. And if all three play, I actually have a little bit of interest in James Harden at 9,800 on FanDuel. I can't imagine playing these guys on DraftKings with any sort of volume.
Yeah. Assuming all three are in, the prices are pretty difficult to get to. Like you can always make a case for Harden or Durant or Kyrie just based on talent and the fact that any individual game they can take over, but they're pretty much priced. The pricing's weird. Like I wouldn't say Harden is entirely priced for Irving to be out, but it's pretty close. 10-4 is not the most appealing price tag there. 11K for Durant kind of sucks. So yeah, assuming all three are in, I don't have a whole lot of interest. And okay. I definitely don't have interest anywhere else.
Yeah. What do you think of Harden for 9,800 on FanDuel?
I think it's fine. It's just basically a talent play. Like I still think he sort of projects like a mediocre play. I would assume DeJounte Murray is similarly priced and looks better, for example. But it's still James Harden. I mean, he still can just go get 60.
Same for $8,200 on FanDuel, Kyrie Irving. Like those price, someone can succeed and get the ball and like they just feed them for the day. Those prices allow that to happen. When we go to Chicago, though, it's looking like we're probably going to get the boss man, Alex Baker, back for this one. LaVine, 24% owned on FanDuel, where he's only 7,200. What a stupid price tag that is. DeRozan is like 15-ish percent owned. Do you have any priorities here on DraftKings for Chicago? Because I don't really see it.
Not really. Chicago's sort of been the same thing for a while. Any of Vooch, LaVine, DeRozan, Ball are good tournament plays. They shouldn't be very popular because they are correctly priced, but they also have very high ceilings. So yeah, no priorities, just kind of wouldn't be surprised if I have like a bowl in a good amount of lineups just to lower my ownership.
It's 2022, and if you still think Bron is better than Kobe, then I don't know what to tell you. He is, and literally always has been. Lakers, 2.5-point favorites in Sacramento, 230-point total for the Lakers. Not too much we really need to touch on here. This is a pretty easy team to talk about. Russ is available. LeBron's available. No AD, no Kendrick Nunn. If I'm playing anyone in this game, it's probably Russ at 8,400 on FanDuel. I really like that price. LeBron's 15% on DraftKings. It's fine. He's 28 on FanDuel. It's fine. Malik Monk's 5,500 on FanDuel. I think that's a little interesting. Those are the only three guys you can roster, and two of those guys you can't even really play on DraftKings with any sort of volume.
Yeah, 11-7 for LeBron on DraftKings I still think looks pretty good. Point guard, small forward eligible, good matchup against Sacramento. He's around 1.7 DraftKings points per minute without Davis. 9,600 for Westbrook in tournaments, sure. He's been nowhere near as good as LeBron from a fantasy standpoint, well, or a real-life standpoint.
Is he better than Kobe, though? Sorry, had to.
So yeah, I mean, just kind of a tournament play. Same goes for Monk. If Dwight Howard plays, I mean, he's 3,500. He could certainly give you a good game. I don't think he's comparable to a Kongwu, as we talked about before, but would still probably pay off a $3,500 salary.
All right. For all the people that are trying to touch Dwight Howard's no-no parts today, do you have any interest in him at 3,500? Because apparently the last two times he's played Sacramento, he's been incredible. So we should play Dwight Howard today. By the way, they didn't have Stanley Johnson the last time that that happened.
Right. Yeah, they didn't have Stanley Johnson. Today you have Holmes out. You have Jones out. Tristan Thompson's questionable. I mean, like if Howard finds a way into 20 minutes, he probably has a good game. But that's a really big if. Like he could play 12 minutes. He could play 0 minutes. If
he could
plays,
also play 20 and still not be all that interesting as a center-only play.
Right, right. If he plays 20, basically you can get – if you want Dwight Howard at 3,500, just click on Devontae Kaycock instead because he's probably going to play 16, 17 minutes and produce just like Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Like let's say Dwight Howard – you know Dwight Howard is going to play 20 minutes and his ceiling in that 20 minutes is – call it 35. I think that's a pretty safe number to say.
If you guarantee
like, okay, like I don't even know if I want that at 3,500 for just a center, given how much center talent exists today.
If you guarantee Dwight Howard plays 20 minutes, I for sure play him. It's not like I'm jamming him into every lineup, but I'm like, he's a good play. But again, like that's not a guarantee. And you get, so, like I wasn't joking, Kaycock is $100 cheaper. He produces like 1.3 fantasy points per minute, and he's likely to play 16 to 20 minutes. It would be very surprising if he doesn't. Whereas Howard, the range is like 0 to 20.
Okongwu, Wood, Whiteside, Yurtseven, Poeltl, Collins. Like, I like all of those guys right out of the gate better than Dwight Howard if I know he plays 20 minutes. So there's your Howard talk. There's your Howard talk. Sacramento Kings, and let's close this out and get out of here. For the Kings, you sort of mentioned some of the injuries. Appreciate you doing that. No Rashawn Holmes, no Damian Jones, questionable tag on Tristan Thompson. Harrison Barnes is 26% owned on FanDuel. Everybody else is just kind of mushed together. On DraftKings, Fox is 10, Halliburton's 15, Barnes is 13, Davion Mitchell's 11. You're just kind of casting a pretty wide net here for Sacramento. By the way, if you want to play Dwight Howard, just feel free to click on Alex Len's name too at 4K. At least he is the starting center. There's that.
Yep.
What do you want to do with Sacramento?
Small, kind of just rotating through guys. It's another team where I think that there's not anyone that looks like a top option, but I'm certainly not upset about $7,500 Fox or 7K Halliburton. Barnes should play 32 minutes or so at 5,300. I think they all look decent.
Yeah.
If Thompson is out, I think Len looks interesting.
Agreed. But if the Lakers are going to play more of LeBron at the five, we're certainly probably like what do you want to do with $4,100 Chimezie Metu? Is that the guy that benefits?
The thing is, the Kings just don't play small. That's what
they might just play a Nimi Esquita or however the hell you say his name.
Keta. Yeah. So that's what I was going to say is like even last game, Keta played 24 minutes. Len played 24 minutes. We've seen so little Bagley at the five, Metu at the five. I agree that if the Lakers go with LeBron at the five, it would make sense to go smaller, you know, give more minutes to like Terrence Davis, play more of your wings. But Sacramento has just not done that this year. So I'm not really convinced that they're going to change what they do based on the Lakers personnel.
Yes. Josh in 2022, everything is better than it used to be. Yes. Yes. I don't want to go drive a Model T. I don't want to like, they didn't have planes back in the day. You know what I mean? We get better at literally everything in every industry always. I don't want to go back in time at all unless I go back in time with the knowledge that I have now so that I could pull some like Back to the Future type nonsense.
Right. But
yes. Yes. Well, that is it. By the way, Wendell Carter Jr. out, Mo Bamba out. Fire up your Robin Lopez. No, we're not going back to talk about Orlando because one, we have hours worth of shows to do for the rest of the day. Adam can hit on that stuff in his GPP videos or the deeper dive plus Live Before Lock. So good luck tonight, everybody. Thank you to No House Advantage for being the sponsor of this video. Enjoy whoever's covering for me tomorrow because I'm not on this show. Win some money tonight, though, everybody. We're out of here. Peace.